From NPR News, this is Weekends on All Things Considered. I'm Rachel Martin, sitting in for Guy Raz. It's been a tough week for the U.S. economy.
There really was a sense that the recovery was picking up steam until these newest numbers.
You can add the monthly unemployment report to a series of worse-than-expected economic
readings. The unemployment
rate
ticked up again to 9.1%.
Housing prices continue to fall.
It was just all downhill for stocks.
Another down day.
And it wasn't just stocks. Commodities, oil, all 10 industry groups in the S&P lower.
Really all the automakers taking a bit of a hit.
Consumer confidence in the tank.
Investors are spooked because unemployment claims came in above 400,000.
The stock market dropped again for the fifth week in a row, but it was the job numbers that really hit home. While millions of Americans have exceeded their unemployment benefit extensions, employers added just 54,000 jobs in May. That's the fewest in the last 8 months. President Obama was in Ohio yesterday pushing positive news about jobs, the jobs saved by the government bailout of the auto companies. He didn't talk about the latest jobs report, but he did acknowledge the broader economic problems.
This economy took a big hit. You know, it's just like if you had a bad illness, if you got hit by a truck, you know, it's going to take a while for you to mend. And that's what's happened to our economy. It's taking a while to mend.
For the millions who've been out of work for months on end, this is starting to feel like the new normal. That's our cover story today, pressing the reset button on America's economic reality.
My name is Teresa Raikovo. I'm 49 years old. I live in West Islip, New York. I was a dispatcher in the trucking business, handling hazardous material for the past 30 years. I started in high school in 1976. I lost my job in September of 2008. I expected that I would be back during that season. I didn't expect that, you know, I would be out of work for the whole winter and then the next winter and then the next winter. That was the difference, is that you don't really, while you're actually going through it, you're not realizing that this is the end of work or your work life or your career as you knew it. My unemployment was taken away from me in August of 2010. Millions of people like myself and people especially in my age group that are being phased out of the workforce. And if you get a job, you're only getting something at minimum wage with minimum benefits or mostly just part-time. I was living in a beautiful, beautiful waterfront apartment that I had worked very hard in my life to achieve to get there, and I've had to leave that and move into a very, very nice but very small studio that friends of mine had that have allowed me to stay there and have worked with me as far as the rent goes. It's not really rent. I really just help them out, you know, when I can. You know, you can't have guests over or have the holidays like I used to have and things like that. So, you know, everything's been an adjustment because life isn't the way it used to be.
That's Teresa Iacovo of Long Island, New York, who's adjusted her expectations to her new economic reality, something America as a whole may need to do. The unemployment rate is now up to 9.1%, and it's been hovering around that number or a little higher since early 2009. So does that mean the days of 4, 5, even 6% unemployment are nothing but a distant memory? I put that question to Felix Salmon, financial blogger for Reuters.
I cannot foresee any time in the future that we're going to get an unemployment rate below 7%. And remember that unemployment is not actually the really big worry here. It's employment which is the big worry.
Explain what that means.
Well, if you look at the total number of people who are working in the United States as a percentage of the total population, it's something known as the employment to population ratio. And it's been declining steadily for years. What that means is that those of us who have jobs are supporting more and more people without jobs. It doesn't really matter, economically speaking, whether you're looking for work or not. What matters is whether you have a job or not. And the unemployment rate only measures the people who are looking for work. It doesn't measure people who have just been completely discouraged and given up looking for work. If you've been out of work for 2 years. There are no jobs. No one will hire you. Then you're magically not unemployed anymore as far as the numbers are concerned. But that doesn't help the economy. And so what we really want to be concentrating on is creating jobs. And although the unemployment rate is an important number, it's important to remember that it's only a subset of the people who aren't working.
What does the United States look like if we get to a point where we're living year after year with a permanent 8 or 9% unemployment rate?
It looks pretty unsustainable. I mean, look at Europe as a good example. They have permanently high unemployment rates in this neighborhood, and sometimes in the case of Spain or other countries in the Mediterranean, quite higher than this. But all of those countries have strong social safety nets, and that really isn't the case in the United States. And so societally speaking, unemployment is much more damaging in the United States than it is in Europe. And so if we do wind up in a world where many, many more people are unemployed and unemployable, then we will have to look after those people somehow. And that's going to be extremely expensive, both societally and politically.
So that leads me to a question about expectations. I mean, for the past few years, I think it's safe to say that at an individual level, in a family unit, people have been continuously adjusting their expectations. Is the country as a whole doing that same calculus, and is it coming too late?
Well, no, we're not doing that calculus, and that's exactly the problem. We've been spending massively, and we've had this fallacy. We've been living on hope and dreams that somehow tax revenues are going to automatically appear, even if we don't raise any taxes. And so at a government level, we've completely failed to grasp the realities of how much this economy costs to run and how much we're realistically ever going to be able to bring in with taxes at their current levels. And so we have this very unsustainable fiscal situation in terms of budget deficits.
What about that jump start we've really needed to get the economy moving? I mean, why can't we get there? And what is that?
Well, that's the second stimulus, which is needed and which is politically impossible. That's the large amount of spending on job creation, which will give people good long-term permanent jobs, make them confident in their future earning power, allow them to go out and spend money and start getting the economy moving again. And we have failed to do that. The only way we can really help jumpstart these things is fiscally, is by doing, you know, smart things like saying to companies, to the degree that you hire more people than you employ right now, we won't charge you payroll tax on those people. That kind of policy. But again, that's a stimulus, and stimulus is a dirty word in Washington right now.
All of this, of course, is happening in a very heated political season. We're anticipating a presidential election next year. How does the economy get fixed? How are any of these big issues addressed in this kind of political climate?
I cannot imagine that any of this is going to get addressed, that anything substantive is going to get done until the other side of the election. My guess is November 2012 at the earliest are we going to see anything useful happening.
That's Reuters finance blogger Felix Salmon. He joined us from our New York bureau. Felix, thanks very much.
Thank you.
But let's face it, learning to live with less is not exactly the best campaign slogan, which means President Obama may have a tough road ahead in his bid for re-election. As we've heard all week, no president since FDR has been re-elected with an unemployment rate above 7.2%. That's one of the reasons this president is asking voters for patience. But when I talked to NPR's White House correspondent Scott Horsley, he said there is a limit.
It's one thing to ask for patience in February of 2009 and something else to ask for patience in October of 2012.
Yeah.
I think less important than the actual number of the unemployment rate in the fall of next year is what the trend line has been, and maybe even more important, the way the American people perceive that trend line. And we were on a trend for a few months earlier this year that I think the White House felt somewhat encouraged by. We saw good job gains in February, in March, in April, and now we've seen this big slowdown in May. The president's own job may depend on whether that's just a one-month hiccup or if it's the sign of something more ominous to come.
Clearly, there's a sense that there needs to be some kind of bipartisan compromise in order to really jumpstart the economy. How do you do that? And at the same time, campaign on a message that our way is the right way and that things are really getting better?
Well, and the president's way has changed. I mean, if you think back to 2 years ago when this administration pushed through an aggressive stimulus package and then took the political risk of bailing out the automakers, Chrysler and General Motors, at a time when that was not popular, and that was something the president was, you know, claiming credit for, claiming good results for today. But there's really no appetite now in Washington, even among Democrats, for a repeat of that kind of big, aggressive government intervention in the economy. So in many ways, the White House is now singing from the Republicans' hymnal and saying, yes, we do need to get control of our deficit. We do need to cut federal spending. And in fact, if that's done carelessly, the cutback in government spending could be another drag on the economy. We've already seen that cuts in government spending at the state and local level have cost more than 400,000 jobs since September of 2008. But the big talking point that you hear in Washington is all about fiscal responsibility and not about the millions of people who are looking for work.
That's NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley here in Washington. Scott, thanks very much.
Good to talk with you, Rachel.